I'd be grateful if you would turn in the church Bibles to St. Mark chapter 12, which you'll find in the New Testament sections on page 46. What's going on? What is this koya thing? To judge from the brochure, it looks like a course in market gardening. Is that right? And what's this commissioning tonight? Well, I know I owe you a word of explanation. These haggard individuals who've just stumbled up to the front with their sunken cheeks and their blank, staring eyes are those who've survived a whole year of our basic training course. And tonight they've come, well, as Michael has said, not to an end, really, more to a beginning. To a new beginning in Christian service. Some are for the first time launching out into a definite work of Christian ministry. For others, this is simply a rededication to a task they've been carrying out for months or even years. And not a first commissioning, but a recommissioning by all of you, the church. We who have knelt before you are in no sense a spiritual elite. On the contrary, as we sang to each other on the last night of Koya, we are keen but clueless. And we come before you tonight not because we feel our strength, but on the contrary, because we feel our weakness, we feel how ill-equipped we are to serve Christ and His church. We know how amateurish we appear beside many in this church who have served for so much longer and with so much more faithfulness. And we need your prayer and support, which you have generously given tonight. I can't fully describe this last year. In a way, for me, and I think for many others, it's been like the first 12 months of marriage. Sometimes stormy, often exhilarating, and certainly full of love. And speaking of marriage, I want to talk tonight, as I would do at a wedding. On Saturday, I am marrying two couples. And I shall speak in both cases primarily to the bride and groom. And the congregation will simply, as it were, be listening in. Well, if you'll excuse me, I want to speak tonight to those who've just been commissioned to bring a message especially for them. And I hope you won't mind if you're content with just tonight, listening in. So, my fellow sufferers, I want to bring you tonight a commandment, the greatest commandment of all. Because it just so happens that in Mark 12:28, a scribe asked Jesus, what was the first command of all? And this was the response he got, Mark 12:29. Jesus answered, "The first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the first command of all that God brings you as you leave Koya. It's the most important aspect of God's will for you. It's what He wants above all. And we're going tonight, in good Koya fashion, to look at it in detail. So first, you're to love with all your heart. Jesus says, verse 30, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." Now, the heart in Scripture is not primarily the headquarters of the emotions. We'll come to them later on. It is the center of the whole personality, much in the same way as we say the heart of the matter, meaning the center, the most important part, which affects everything else. So when Jesus tells us to love God with all our heart, he means we're to love God, you could say, with the very center of our whole being, or yes, its core. The focal point of our whole personality is to be entirely given over to loving God. And that, of course, will affect every waking moment of our lives. It means total commitment. Now, I have said again and again that the purpose of this course is to train you for Christian service, and that's true. But I guess each one of you has realized that there's a more important purpose still, and that is to lead us, to lead you, into a deeper commitment to Christ and to his body, the church. I wonder if that purpose has been achieved. I wonder if you can look back over these last 12 months and say, in all honesty, I've not just learnt about the importance of context and the basic method. I've not just become even more confused about English grammar. But also, and much more valuably, I've gone deeper in my life with God. That will always be the case with any genuine training. You cannot learn more about God without becoming more committed to him. And yet, for all of us, there's still a long way to go. A long way before we can say that the very heart, the very center of our personality, is given over to loving God. But tonight, what you're doing at this commissioning service could be one important step along the way. Let's be clear what is happening tonight. You are not simply taking on an extra activity to your week, a few hours at the welcome desk or on a counseling team. What you are doing as you come to receive God's blessing at this service is committing yourself totally, the very heart of your personality, to God and his service as best you know how. Is that a tall order? Yes, it is. But it is the first and the most important thing that God requires, to love him with all your heart. And then with all your soul. Verse 30. You shall love the Lord your God, says Jesus, with all your heart and with all your soul. And this is where the emotions come in. The soul can mean a number of different things in Scripture, but here it seems to mean, as it does in a great many other places, the seat of the emotions. In the Song of Solomon, for instance, the woman keeps talking of her lover as he whom my soul loves. She means the one who has captured her emotions. And when Jesus tells us we're to love God with all our soul, he means we're to be taken up, yes, and at least from time to time, intoxicated with the love of God. Today, you are dedicating yourselves to the service of Christ, but not simply as a duty, not simply as something you ought to do because the Bible says so, because God requires it. There are times for each one of us when only duty keeps us going. We'll come back to that later on. But normally, surely, normally, it should be love for Jesus that drives us out to serve. Love for God. Do you feel your love has gone cold? That's why our last house party was so important. Deliberately, we concentrated over the whole weekend on spending time with Jesus. That is what will rekindle your love. Jesus is the one person whom you can never be with for too long. You know that isn't true with most of your friends. It's fine to spend a few hours with them or even half a day. But there comes a time when their company begins to pall. Not so, Jesus. I'm not saying that to concentrate for a long time on prayer and Bible study isn't hard. It is. It's spiritually demanding. But I am saying that any time spent genuinely in the presence of Jesus is infinitely rewarding, never for a moment dull. And yet I overheard one person on the house party say he spent 5 minutes on average in prayer a day, and presumably 5 minutes Bible study. Well, no wonder your love's grown cold. How can any true relationship of love be sustained on 5 hurried minutes a day? Oh, I know we all find that other essential obligations squeeze out time with Jesus now and then. I do. But no more than 5 minutes every day? See, Jesus wants the love of our whole soul, and we will never love him throughout the day until we find some space for a good, long, concentrated time drinking in his love from his word and in prayer. I wonder if you acted on that house party. I know we were all convicted of how shambolic our prayer and Bible study was, but have you acted on what you learned? If not, then surely this week, before it all becomes no more than a memory in the past, is the occasion to sit down and think through very practically how you can learn to be taken up with the love of Jesus, to love him with all your soul, then with all your mind. Jesus goes on, verse 30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Well, I hope that at the end of this year you're still keen, but a little less clueless. And yet I imagine this last 12 months has made us all very aware of how ignorant we still are. I wrote in my Quiet Time book a few days ago, as I go on in the Christian life, I am more and more conscious of what I don't know. And that's true for all of us. Well, you have 2 extra evenings a week. Thursday, and as you shouted at the end of that song, no more homework. What are you going to do with that time? Obviously, some of it will be given over to Christian service, perhaps visiting with the Reach Out team, or if you're a fellowship group leader, having your group members round for a meal one by one. But what about your mind? This has been a year when you've given yourself to learning from the Bible. Now that it's over, how are you going to love God more with your mind? Well, some of you perhaps will want to progress on to the School of Christian Studies. You want to go into biblical and theological studies at a more advanced level. But I hope you will spend at least 1 evening a week in a disciplined way giving yourself to personal study. I hope you've seen the real advantage of that when you've thrown yourself into it this year. It's so true, we learn most from what we study ourselves. Perhaps I've spoon-fed you too much over this year. But I hope your concordance will soon be well-thumbed. I hope you'll take some of the great passages of the Bible and work through them systematically with the basic method. I hope you'll buy some of the slightly weightier books from the bookstore and pore over them, looking up the references. Jesus wants us to love him with all our mind. Isn't that an exciting prospect? To find your thinking being more and more penetrated and taken over by Christ. But it won't be done in a day. It will call for quite a lot of discipline and concentration and not a little hard slog too. Which brings me to Jesus' next point. You're to love him with all your strength. Because the verse goes on, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Today you're saying publicly you want to put your love for God and for other people into action. You want to serve in the welcome desk, in the clubhouse, in a nursery class, and so on. You're saying more than that. You're saying you want your whole life to be a life of service. Now, sometimes that will be very easy. Sometimes the rewards will be obvious and immediate. Sometimes you feel you wouldn't give up working for God for £1 million. And at other times, you'd be tempted by fivepence. There will certainly be times when each one of us will find Christian service unrewarding, difficult, a grind. And that is when you will need to love God with all your strength. As I say this, I think especially of the Christian writers. Not only of them by any means, but especially of them. Will you, the congregation, pray for them? When they write and seem to be achieving nothing, when they submit still another manuscript to a magazine and yet again it's refused, oh, the temptation to give up or to get bitter. Then they'll need to love God with all their strength. Or I think of the house-to-house visitors on an evening when it's wet and cold and when someone has just been rude to them at the door, or on a night when no one's asked them in and they think they haven't any message to pass on anyway because they feel so dejected. Then they will need to love God with all their strength. Or the counselors, perhaps those who will be especially involved in welcoming people on Sundays. Think of them when they've just met someone from Papua and put their foot in it because they thought Papua was in the West Indies. And then they've hurried on to someone else and couldn't even get an elementary conversation going, not even about the weather. And they begin to ask, "What am I doing here? I'm no good." We will all need perseverance. We will all need courage, perhaps especially in this first 6 months after Kuya, as we launch out into service. Brethren, pray for us. Pray that we will truly love God with a love that can ride the frustrations and disappointments and setbacks. A love that will take up all our strength. So that's the commandment I bring you tonight. The commandment that Jesus himself said was first of all to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. But I want to end by looking back for just a couple of minutes at the first words Jesus says. He begins in verse 29. The first commandment is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." In one sense, that's a demand. There is only one God, our Creator, our Upholder, and therefore it is absolutely right that He should ask for all of our heart, all of our soul and mind and strength, because there is no other God for Him to share us with, no other true God. But verse 29 is not only a demand, because in another very important sense, it is a promise. This one almighty God is our Lord. So that in this commissioning service, it is not just that we are committing ourselves afresh to Him. He is also committing Himself afresh to us. You don't go into Christian service alone, because He is with you every step of the way, before you, with you, in you, surrounding you, preparing the ground so that you can help other people, guiding you in what you say and in the advice you give, strengthening you to go on praying and helping further, even if you don't see the immediate results you had hoped for. He is with you. This service really is like a wedding, or rather, like a renewal of marriage vows, in which you give yourself and your love anew to Jesus, the heavenly bridegroom, and He pledges His love and support anew to you. But it takes two to love. There's no doubt about His desire to love you and serve you. The question is, do we love Him enough to want to serve Him with every fiber of our being, and, which is an even greater test of our love, to serve others for His sake? It's all very well to give ourselves to Him. He is altogether lovely. But He calls us to love others too, others with all their faults and all their irritating characteristics, the ones that rub our irritating characteristics up the wrong way. Do we love Him enough for that? I believe we do. Let's pray. Lord God, You have done so much for us, not least over this year. We thank You for this service tonight, a time when we have been very conscious of Your love renewed to us, and of the love of our Christian family here. And so tonight, we want to pledge our love anew to You. We want to give ourselves up totally to loving You and to serving You. And we want, with Your strength and Your love, to serve our neighbor too, this family which we thank You for, and our neighbor who is as yet outside Christ. Lord, teach us to love. Amen.